FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. It's July 23rd, 2018. Birthday was over the weekend. Quiet, nice, relaxed birthday. Best kind. Thanks for the party, but no party necessary. And hey, we're back now. Time for the show. As always, best part of my day is when I step into an undisclosed socialist coffee establishment and I squat for a couple of hours. I actually buy something, so I guess they can't throw me out. Although, if they hear these podcasts, they definitely would want to throw me out. But in any event, when I get your emails there, I always get some chuckles. It's always fun. So keep them coming. KL at Carrie Lutz is the email address. So, person you're about to hear from has authored a book that you probably want to know about. It's called Bozos, Monsters, and Whizbangs, Bad Advice from Financial Advisors and How to Avoid It. And avoid it you must. Financial survival, that's what it's all about. What seems to be good advice one moment, actually not such good advice the next. Person who wrote it, her name is Lorraine L. Lorraine, welcome to the show. Your website, bettermoneydecisions.com. We're thrilled to have you on.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
So, what is a bozo on Wall Street exactly?
Well, Wall Street is full of them, but so is your local neighborhood advisor who's right down the street. There's just a tremendous amount of bad advice in my industry, and I hate to say it. I'm embarrassed to say it, but it's true. People are out for themselves and really don't give a hoot about their clients. And so I just had so many stories from people who came to me for help with retirement or their finances. And I compiled at least some of them in a book that really demonstrates some of the bad advice that advisors have given to folks over the years. And it just kind of made my blood boil. So I decided to do something about it.
So, hey, obviously you're in business and you want to give these people proper advice. You know, you're not just out there to save the manatees, but the fact of the matter is people do, you require assistance to navigate the minefields of financial advice. Imagine all the people who got ruined in 08 and 09 who didn't have to be ruined if they had only gotten the right advice.
You know, this is so true. And we see people who gave bad advice during that period, other advisors. And it wasn't necessary to lose all your money in 08 and 09. If you had the right planning, if you had the right direction, and if you had someone who was really looking out after your interests, you could have avoided a lot of those disastrous stories that you hear in the media. And that's, you know, one of the reasons I wrote the book. I'm, you know, yes, of course, I'm in business and I'm a businesswoman. I'm a serial entrepreneur and I enjoy helping folks. And it's just as important to find the right kind of advice.
Absolutely. Somebody who you're aligned with, who you know, puts your interest ahead of all is very important. And, you know, when you analyze people, you kind of look at a pyramid type setup and you kind of evaluate their goals according to that pyramid.
Well, you know, that's all part of it. We kind of have this very comprehensive approach to retirement planning where we help people pull together all the different pieces of the puzzle to make it work for them, because it actually is kind of difficult to figure out what to do with your money when you're retired and how to make it last, because people are living longer and longer. So it's critical to, you know, get the right kind of advice in making money decisions and solving problems and in doing what you need to do, managing the assets correctly so that you're not, you know, living under a bridge somewhere by the time you're 90. That's my goal for you.
Yeah, really, really important to, that you do things right the first time, because you might not get a second time to get it right.
No, this is true. I mean, those poor folks who panicked and sold out in 08 and 09 when we had the, you know, severe market correction crash, really made a bad decision, because 2 years later, they would have recouped all of their money had they just hung in there. And, you know, if you plan the cash flow, if you do what we call cash flow management, then you wouldn't have had to have sold out in a panic, because markets trend higher over time. And you would have had that kind of help in managing your emotions, so that, you know, it wouldn't have been the disaster that it turned out to be for a lot of folks. It didn't have to be. It didn't have to go down that way.
Okay, so managing our emotions is at least as important, perhaps more important, than actually managing your money.
You know, there is a lot of truth in that, because, you know, people tend to go through the cycle of emotions, and hence the old time expression, you know, buy high, sell low, which is, of course, the opposite of what you want to do. But people tend to get excited, like right now. You know, we're in a very long-term bull market right now, and prices keep going up, and people see people, others making money, and they're all excited about it. And so they want to jump in and buy here. But, you know, a year or two from now, when the cycle reverses, and honestly, the stuff just does go up and down. When the cycle reverses, they panic. And then the investment that they bought at a higher level, they now sell when it's at its low. And of course, that's not a good decision for keeping your money for the future.
So they zig when they should zag, and they zag when they should zig.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so
we see it all the time.
Sure. Well, so what's the best way to put a cap on your emotions and not do the wrong thing?
Well, you know, I just think if you can, it really helps to have someone who to talk you off the cliff, is what I like to call it. So if we experience these kinds of crashes and market corrections, if a client will call, I'll talk to them about what are the historic averages for markets. You know that I remind them that we've positioned their portfolio to kind of weather these kinds of storms, and that there will always be some money available, because the portfolio is diversified, with from which to draw money to live on without having to sell investments that happen to be down at that time. So, you know, it really helps to have a coach, a money coach, or an advisor who's really willing to put the time in to help you figure it out and make sure that you're not facing a disaster just because we're in a market correction. And, it's inevitable. It's going to happen.
Yeah, well, of course it's going to happen. So what about asset allocation? How do you focus on that?
You know what? You hear it all the time, but it is critically important that you diversify, that you need to hold investments from a multiple of asset classes. So, you know, back in the 80s, when I first got into this business, there weren't a lot of choices. I mean, they didn't have ETFs or indexing. They really didn't have easily available international funds to purchase. I mean, things were a little more restrictive in those days. And so you saw what I like to call your grandfather's portfolio. It contained, you know, a lot of the big large cap or large companies from the U.S., and that was it. Kind of developed that big stock portfolio, and maybe you had a few bonds in there somewhere. But now we have the ability and the opportunity at a very low cost to invest in emerging markets and developed markets internationally, to get bonds internationally as well as stocks, and to really compile a selection of investments for your portfolio that are very well diversified. We didn't used to have that, but we do now. And so don't get stuck back in the, Stone Age.
So how do you
modernize your portfolio?
How do you define diversifying your portfolio?
Yeah. Well, you know, I define it by looking at what are the universe of investments out there available to you. So, you know, you have stocks in a variety of different countries around the world. And although it's true that the United States has 54% of all the stocks available in the world, you can't just focus on the United States. Mm-hmm. You have to have some stocks from Europe. You have to have some in China and India and Brazil, for example. But you also need bonds from the different countries as well. And one of the easiest way to do this is to use either low-cost mutual funds or exchange-traded funds where the internal expense ratio is very low. And you need to have just a collection of all of these based on the kind of risk level that you both need and can tolerate. So there are two different parts to that risk question.
Mm-hmm. So assessing risk, obviously, you have to be your own best risk manager. But, you know, investors of varying degrees of sophistication, Lorraine, really don't necessarily have a great handle on risk.
You know, that's very true. And it's difficult to assess. For those who are doing their, you know, investments and portfolio management on their own, there are tools available on the web to kind of run you through a little risk questionnaire. You know, you can request that from me. I'd be happy to do that and send you a link to a risk assessment tool. Just send it to wecanhelp@bettermoneydecisions.com. But it's worth the exercise to see, you know, how your emotions are going to affect you should the market, you know, do what it usually does, which is erratic at times. And so not only, though, do you need to look at that, you need to look at what you need for a successful retirement. Because, you know, we would all love to have investments that earned us 10% per year and involved zero risk. But, yeah, you know, newsflash, that doesn't exist.
but you can do things like not buying junk bonds. The average investor shouldn't really go near them with a 10-foot pole, should they?
I totally agree with that. And as a matter of fact, the bond portion of your investment portfolio should be in shorter term investment grade or A rated bonds or better, both governments and corporate. And stay away from the junk bonds. Junk bonds essentially behave like stocks. So when you see a market downturn, they're more impacted by the value of the underlying company than they are whether interest rates are rising or not. I don't use junk bonds in any of my client portfolios.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think it's prudent.
Good move. Hey, so about 2008 and 9, so we've seen a deterioration in a lot of municipal bonds. We saw Puerto Rico happen. How do we avoid the next Puerto Rico?
Well, you know, look, the United States has a very diversified and robust economy. I mean, even in our worst years, we have businesses are still making money. They're involved internationally. They have a huge domestic market for their products. And so, you know, you can feel pretty confident in investing in U.S. companies as long as they are rated A or above. And you can go to any of the rating services, Moody's and S&P, and you can find out if the company has a good credit rating. It's kind of like the FICO score for individuals. You can tell whether they're good for their debt. Now, a situation like Puerto Rico, I mean, that was always an iffy situation. And people who invested in those were what I call yield hogs. They were looking for the highest yield of a bond available. And again, this should come as no surprise, the higher the yield, the greater the risk. And so if you're looking for something that's paying way above what average bonds are paying, you're probably going to get nailed if the underlying, whether it's a country or a territory or a company, goes into default.
Mm-hmm.
So buyer beware.
Yeah. Yeah, it's risk reward. And, you know,
it's risk reward. Yeah.
But the thing is that that risk used to be better valued, I think, than it is today. You look, because the yields, you know, I don't want to say curve, but the yield chart has kind of contracted between the worst credits and the best credits, right? You just don't get that much more. You know, you used to get like 10, you know, you get 10 points, what is that, 1,000 basis points difference between junk and AAA. And now it's less than half that in certain instances.
Right.
So,
and this is true. Yeah. So you got to look into what you're buying.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So
yes.
Buyer,
do your research.
Caveat emptor, right? Caveat emptor. When in doubt, buyer beware. If still in doubt, buyer beware. So
exactly.
But understanding these concepts, right? It's hard for the individual investor for you to get it because there's a lot of noise going on and a lot of things. Hey, what about you? If you don't understand an investment, does that stop you from getting involved in it?
It most definitely does. Now, of course, I'm a professional and it's my business to understand what these investments are and what they mean. And it's also important to my company that our clients understand what they own and why they own it. And we spend a great deal of time educating our clients as to what they have in their portfolios, why it's important to have it, and why they need to, you know, be an educated consumer of these products. But it is confusing out there. And there is so much noise, because that's part, I think, of the whole way that my industry functions. It's through obfuscation and confusion, and, you know, it's kind of like that old shell game under the under the moving cups, and, you know, where's the tea?
Yeah. I mean, where's the beef?
It's difficult sometimes to figure it out, and I think that's done deliberately, unfortunately.
I agree totally. And, you know, Peter Lynch, the father of, well, I don't want to call it value investing because it's not really value, but of knowing your company, of walking to the mall, although nowadays, if there is a mall, it's probably been closed down.
Yeah, that may be true.
You know, there probably isn't a mall now. But you know, the point remains, there are growing companies. Smaller companies haven't been discovered. Maybe it's a restaurant chain that is just crushing it, whatever. But he was always in favor of understanding the company. If you don't understand it, walk away. I think Warren Buffett has said the same. Well, makes a lot of sense. So I know people are going to want to get your book. They're going to want to contact you direct. Where do we find you at, Lorraine?
Sure. You can always email wecanhelp@bettermoneydecisions.com. There's also a website for the book that has a free download that's called 7 Warning Signs You Are Working with the Wrong Advisor. So if you go to monsterswithbangs.com, you can get a free download, and it's a really good little PDF to kind of give you some clues as to what to look for in bad advisors. So either way, email, find us on the web, Lorraine, last name is E-L-L, just Google me.
All right. Hey, and we'll have a link to your site in the show notes on our site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. And make sure you check it out there. Sign up for our newsletter. It's free. And hopefully there'll be one going out tomorrow if I can get my act together, which I just might be able to do, even though I'm just back from vacation. Hey, email us, be part of the show, kl@carrielutz.com. That's the email address, and the Twitter feed's @CarrieLutz, and the Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Lorraine, it's been great having you on. Fun. And
thank you so much.
Hey, keep up the great work. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Sounds like a plan. Bye now.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.